Well, today we're starting a new series on experiencing life and the things that we need to cast aside, to stop in our lives, what keeps us from thriving. Today I want to talk about hurriedness. If we could stop much of our hurriedness, we would be able to thrive in life because we would be more in tune with the presence of Christ and the presence of His Holy Spirit within our lives. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of St. Luke. It's the familiar story of Mary and Martha. On this Epiphany Sunday, we're usually talking about the wise men. We think there were three of them, so let's kind of turn that a little bit today. Think about the wise women, two wise women who received Jesus into their home. This scripture comes in the Gospel of St. Luke when Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem. From here until the experience of the upper room and the cross is basically filled with Jesus sending out the disciples, Jesus teaching, doing that intense work. Jesus himself is at that point of decision within his life and kind of sizing up the task that's before him. And so he stops by some of his friends' homes to a home to relax and to receive. So we come to think about ourselves, hopefully in this hour, is either identifying with Martha and her hurriedness or with Mary in her continued worship and entertainment of the presence of Christ. So call your attention to the screens or to one of the pew Bibles as we share in the scripture. Now as they went, talking about Jesus and the disciples on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to come help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." May God take this scripture and implant it in our hearts and minds in such a way that it bears fruit in our lives, that we may thrive in this new year for the sake of Christ. Some of you are familiar with Bob Newhart. Some of you are stranger to him. He is a comedian from the 70s. Did a lot of great comedy. Did not really take a lot of support. He was just really hilarious in his own right. He talks about or shares a little skit that you can probably still find on YouTube where he is posturing himself to be a counselor or a psychologist, and he's receiving a patient. And the woman comes in to his office, and he welcomes her and says, "You know, I'm a unique therapist. I only see my clients one time for 5 minutes. My charge is $10, this is the way I've been practicing, my profession." And she says, "Well, that's nice. I'm glad to meet you, Dr. Newhart." And he says to her, "Well, what can I do for you today? What's your problem?" She says, "Well, I go around every day with the fear that I'm going to be buried alive." Buried alive. He says, "Wow, that must be a terrible way to live life. And I hope maybe that I can help you. Let me state back to you what you've just said. You're going around every day with this overwhelming fear that you're going to be buried alive." And she says, "Yes." And he said, "Have you ever had an experience where you were almost buried alive?" And she said, "Well, no, I've never had any experience like that, but I just feel like every day I'm going to be buried alive." And he said, "Well, I've got good news for you. I have a solution to your fear. It's only going to be two words." She says, "Well, do I need to take out a pen and paper and write down those words?" He says, "Well, you might want to, but most people can remember them, and I use them fairly often. Are you ready for them?" And the client says, "Well, yes, doctor, I'm ready to receive your diagnosis and your cure." And he simply says, "My words for you, my two words are, stop it. Just stop it. Stop doing it. There's no reason for you to go around every day worry that you're going to be buried alive. What are the chances of that? Just stop it. Oh, that if it were that simple. Oh, that if our inner workings were that simple, that we could just cold turkey stop whatever it is that distracts us, which seeks to destroy us, which gets us offline, which takes us away from the presence of God and away from the presence of His Christ. What if we could just stop it? But we know that it just doesn't work quite like that. It's just simply not that simple. And so, with some kind of shadow over our life, whether it's the fear of being buried alive or whatever it might be, then we just get in this rut in which we are hurried all of the time. That we're running away from some undiagnosed fear, some undiagnosed thinking. Our patterns of life, our way of life, just constantly hold us back, chain us in, and keep us from thriving. One of the ways in which we can begin to help to find our way forward is to remember that the best way to subtract anything from your life, including the fear of being buried alive, is to add something to your life. Often we subtract without adding anything. And when we do, we're really not following a biblical prescription for how to live life. This awesome praise of God, this wonderful Son of God, Christ, that we meet personally, those additions are paramount within life. And as I said earlier, you're not intended to be your own handiwork. You are intended to be a masterpiece of God. God is interested in you and in your life, and He's interested in you thriving. And when that partnership is established, everything changes. It's such a simple, short step, it seems, often in our thinking, to add an additional part of our lives that changes our bearings and our approach so much. I was reading a money coach a short time back in some coaching. I know most of us are thinking about how do we get ourselves in a better posture, better state this year. And his advice was, don't start with a budget. That's not the way to handle your finances. He says, don't start with a budget. Start with a spending plan. He says, that's far more positive. It's far more about what you're really intentional about your spending, not your budgeting. But he said, the results are the same. If you stick with your spending plan, then your budget's going to take care of itself. And that's the place to begin. I often think about, at this time of the year, the new beginnings and how to spiritually appropriate them. Right after Christmas, the day after Christmas, along my street, several people had already pitched out their Christmas trees. And I appreciate their enthusiasm and their willingness to move forward, but it was sad to me. I just kind of hated driving along the street, looking at the trees. Some of them still had some tinsels and decorations on them. And my heart just cried out, you know, friends, it's not over. It's not over. This is just the beginning. The Christ tree is the tree that puts down the roots for the rest of the year. Don't move on too fast. Don't be in such a hurry. Linger behind in the moment. Let this have a place of starting in your life. I'm at the age, if I've already confessed this morning, of having the privilege of observing my children, my grandchildren. Notice I said observe and not advise my children about parenting my grandchildren. And for the most part, I'm really thrilled. I'll be honest. They're better parents than I was to them. So that's really, of course, amazing. But I've watched them handle the task that all parents and grandparents handle, and that is getting children, their two children, to tidy up. Boy, they can make a mess, and, you know, you can have everything so well organized, and boy, they hit that basket, that box, that room, and in 5 minutes, it's just a disaster. It looks like no one has ever done any housekeeping there. But one of the things that have helped my children, of course, is Alexa. Alexa lives with them. She's really great. We talk to her all the time. It's a little spooky, but she's there, and she keeps all kinds of grocery lists, just provides all kinds of information, all kinds of music. You just say, Alexa, I'd love to hear the Beach Boys. What have you got for me today? Boom, boom, boom. Well, how about this? And off we go, and it's really an amazing a new world. But one of the wonderful things that Alexa does is a countdown. And so the countdown helps with the tidying up. And so, boy, when Mama sets that timer, set the timer for 3 minutes, Alexa. And Alexa says, and when would you like for me to start? And she'll say, now. And so it's 2:59 and then 2:58. And to watch that little scramble take place and getting things tidied up in order to beat the countdown from Alexa. The other more important, perhaps, approach that they use is this. They say, you know, you go to your room and get started, and then we'll come and join you and help you finish up. And boy, there's some magic in those words. If you'll just go and get started. I think at the first of the year, we're trying to get started, aren't we? Trying to find that edge, that place to get started. One of John Ortberg's statements in the book that we'll be exploring is that he says, most of us start from a place of guilt. When we want to make a difference, we finally get so much guilt on our shoulders, we say, well, I'm going to start. And then we hang in there for a while, and then we get fatigued, and then we give up. And he says, you know, the fallacy with that is we're trying to do life by ourselves. He says, don't start from a place of failure. Start from the place where the Lord says to you, you just get started, and I'll come along beside you. If you've ever experienced that, you cannot imagine the difference that makes within your life. To not start from a place of being overburdened and guilt, because you're going to end up in failure. You're going to just burn out. But Jesus always talked about that living water that he came to give and how it flows out of a life that's connected to him. And what great pleasure it is for that water to be made available. How he says about the kingdom, he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to come along beside you. If you'll just crack the door, if you'll just get started, you're going to be amazed at what's going to happen within your life. So again, that subtraction in our life comes best when there's some addition in our lives. When we replace in our lives or place in our lives what we want to have, and then the things that we've clung to just kind of take a back seat. I know many of you, like myself, are trying to live healthier in this new year, to get more exercise, to grow spiritually, to deepen your relationships, to move from hurrying through life to experiencing life, and much of that is not what you take away or what you just determine out of guilt to do, but what you add to your life. It can be as simple physically as just adding some steps in your life. When you go to the mall, you don't just go do your quick shopping. Great place to walk. When you go to the hospital, where some of you get to see me occasionally, one of the great things you helped me with, you challenged me to walk the stairs, and I walk up to see you. If you're off the first floor, I will walk, and I'm surprised by that, because you know I get in a stairwell up and down maybe before I see you, and up and down after I leave you, and it is amazing how different that exercise is than anything else I do. And so for a couple of days, I walk around the church real stiff-legged because, you know, the muscles are tight. But it's a signal always, you know, if you'll just add something, you'll be surprised how much just getting started challenges you to do more. And, of course, if you get a little bit of exercise, it kind of curbs the appetite. You don't have to necessarily be subtracting that, but there's something internally that changes that whole system in a powerful way, just to get started. Some of you are like me, just wanting to find that place where you're more supportive of other people and not as critical. And you might say, well, I'm guilty. I'm going to tough it out. I'm not going to be as critical. Don't start there. Start with compliments and building people up and saying, I'll pray for you, and you know I've got you back, and I'm going to support you, and you know, you hang in there. Find that positive language, and that positive language, my friends, will eliminate much of that negative language, because you'll be in partnership as a team with someone else. Just that addition that results in some subtraction. Well, Jesus ends up at the home of Mary and Martha. Great story. And notice he comes along. When it says the they, that's a code word that he brought along 12 hungry students with him. And so bless Martha's heart. You know, cut her a little slack. Jesus shows up, 12 hungry students with him. And she's trying to her best to offer Israeli hospitality, which even exceeds Southern hospitality, so she's just working. Usher and Vester Smith over in Georgia were members of my little student appointment when I was a seminarian, and Usher had sent milk into Atlanta for 40 years. Can you imagine back in the 50s and 40s running a dairy farm outside of Atlanta, and every single day there was milking and there was feeding and processing, and both of them had just this wonderful, radiant Christian witness in their life. They were our grandparents and our parents. So just remember, God has a task for you regardless of where you are in your life time frame. And I'm the person I am. And if I have any gifts as a pastor, I can certainly credit those two praying individuals for praying me through seminary and allowing me to be their pastor. And there was just work to do. Just absolutely amazing people. They would take us after church there at Mansfield to this little restaurant that was in a gas station. That wasn't trendy during that time. It was just part of our community. Good little place to have dinner on Sunday. And if we got out before the Baptists, you didn't have to sit by the kitchen door. But the kitchen door was one of those old-fashioned swinging doors that would separate the restaurant from the kitchen, 180 degrees. And boy, if you sat back where the door was, it was swinging constantly. Bam, bam, all the waiters and waitresses were going through that. I kind of have that imagination that this was Martha at her house, and Jesus is trying to be with Mary and the disciples, and that kitchen door is swinging, bam, bam, and Martha's in and out, working, and finally says, "Oh, Jesus, won't you speak to my sister and say, look, she needs to come and help me." And Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled and distracted and worried about many things. And Mary has chosen the best thing, and it will not be taken away from her." How are we approaching this new year? Are we, like Martha, so caught up in hurrying, it all depends on me, and I've got my deadlines, and I'm so important because I'm busy, because I don't have time for any kind of devotional life. I don't have time for my family, for my friends. I'm hurrying. There's nothing about experiencing. And Jesus whispers and says, look, first start not out of guilt, not out of hospitality, not out of doing. Start with me. Start at my feet. Just start with me. Here I am, resting my weight in this home, kind of waiting to be nurtured by that living water myself, to be recommissioned myself for that journey that will ultimately take me to the cross. And if I need that, friend, don't you need it as well? Come and journey with me. Why don't you come and, Martha, and just get started a little bit with Mary, just to be in worship, just to be present, just to experience the presence of Almighty God and my Heavenly Father, the Creator, the Kingdom. Why be so rushed in your work? I had a person talk about her experience in worship, and she spoke of it in this way. I thought it was very insightful. She said, "I used to come to church, and I would ask the question, how did they do today? How did the musicians do today? Were they lively? Were they on key? Was the music appropriate to kind of fill out the service? Were there pieces that were chosen maybe that didn't fit in for the Sunday? How did they do today? How did the preacher do today? How did the ushers do today? You know, how did those who prayed do today?" And she said, it was all about how did they do today. She said, "The turning point in my life was when I began to ask the question, unhurriedly," did you hear that? Unhurriedly, not rushing through the day. When I began to ask the question, how did I do today? How did I do today? Did I begin my Sunday praying for those who were at the doors and who were the ushers and the welcomers and the hospitality and those who had been there hours before I arrived? Did I begin my day praying for my congregation and for those lay people and staff who had worked all week long in my church to make Sunday possible for me? How did I do today? How did I do today when singing took place? Did I really stop and listen to the words, like these great words that were sung by our worship team today? Did I really worship, or was I just kind of counting down the minutes? So, boy, they'll be finished pretty soon. Sounds great. I'm going to keep my distance. Did I even get started in getting engaged in those moments where I said, you know, how do I offer my personal praise to Jesus Christ? How do I get started with that? And did I pray for my preacher today? Did I encourage him or her? Was I an advocate there? Did I really listen to the scripture when it was read? How did I do today? Did I offer my own prayers? How seriously did I take it all? And when we begin to ask that question unhurriedly, how did I do today? It changes that perspective totally. As we begin this new year, we can begin it hurriedly like Martha, or we can be like Mary and ask the question, how did I do today? How are you doing with the fact that Jesus has come to visit you today? That he's in your house here in a real positive and powerful way through the spoken word and through the prayers and through the Holy Communion in this day. How are you doing today with that visit? How has your visit been in coming here to the house where Jesus is? And how are you appropriating this experience in this day? Well, I dare say that you have come either as a Mary or a Martha, and you've been hurriedly, busily processing what lies ahead this afternoon for you, or maybe tomorrow for you. You have not been willing to entertain the fact that this is the house of the Lord God Almighty, and that his Son is present with us, both here at the table and in all that's taken place. Are you hurried? Have you started this year already without asking Christ to walk with you, to provide that living water within your life, so that you start at that starting place that will nourish you all year long? We need Christ not only for our salvation, we need him every day in our life to nurture and to care for us and to provide for us. And so, can this experience be a true starting place, where it becomes the starting place for all that you think and all that you aspire to and all that you intend for the new year? I pray that it will.